So that takes us to module 5.
Ooh.
So let me
load them all up. Shut down your old ISE and bring it up again.
Yeah, so everybody, if you want, you can open up the demonstration code for this. And that's what I'm doing. And module 5 and
dots in the bar.
Voila. So
this is all very nice. I like this.
You like this?
Yeah. Good job. Like you did all the work.
Thank you. Well, no, you did all the work. I'm just talking about the work you did. You and the PowerShell team.
You made it very easy for people.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anyways, so I'm going to show you this first one just because we've already shown this in the previous Jumpstart, and you've seen us use this before, but parameters can have attributes. And I'm going to let Jeffrey talk about that, but I want you to see one of the ones that we've been using a lot. And this is a parameter attribute called mandatory, which makes the parameter, mandatory. If you don't fill it in...
That would explain that.
If you don't fill it in, it's going to prompt you. And so this is actually a good example of a parameter attribute, but you guys have created a ton of attributes. Why create all these attributes in the first place? Because we're talking about validation, all kinds of stuff.
Ooh, it's one of my favorite topics. So basically, it's all around... allowing you to tell PowerShell to do all the work for you, okay? And we were talking about this last evening, this whole discussion about imperative code versus declarative code, and when do you want one versus the other? And the answer is a little bit complicated, but in general, when you can have declarations tell somebody else what you want, and then it's their job to make it so. And in general, that's very, very powerful. Now, you can't do everything that way, you know, world peace equals true, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a genius, I'm a good guy,
just make it so.
So it doesn't always work, but often it does. And so that's what we've done, and I think the parameter validation is a great example. Now, some of you will look at this and they'll say, well, look, you get this pound sign, mandatory equals true. I could have done that in code, right? I could have gone and say, you know, if it's not here, generate an error message. But here's the deal, don't do that. If you go do that code, you have to do what? You have to write an error message, okay? If Jason does that, he's going to do what? He's going to write an error message. And the thousands of people out there watching this, you're all going to write error messages, and they're all going to be different, okay? If you use my parameter, my attribute, mandatory equals true, then somebody doesn't specify a parameter, there's going to be exactly one error message. And people will look at it, they're going to recognize it. They don't have to read it. They're going to recognize it because they've seen it before, and they're going to know exactly what it is, and they're going to do it. If there are thousands of different error messages for the same condition, they're going to have to read that, say, what is it? You know, call Bruce Payette at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Bruce, got another one.
Yeah, do you know this one? And that's not going to be good. Now, the other thing is, like, okay, so you say, well, I'm just not convinced. I'm going to do it. And then I say, okay, great. So what happens when you take your script and it's popular and it's run in France? Are you going to output it in French?
Yeah, what am I going to do about the language?
Exactly.
Stuff?
And the answer is no, you're going to be an ugly American and say, just learn English, you... and of course, that's not a good answer.
That's not a good answer. So.
And so if you use our attributes and your script runs in other countries, we do the localization of the error message. The people in that country are going to get an error message that they can read.
You had me at, you don't have to type in the code.
Yeah.
I mean, quite honestly, it gets down to the reason for the parameter attributes is you could hand code all of these. But why when, first of all, they've already done the heavy lifting, the hard work. You get features like localization for languages in different countries. Also, one of the primary things is quite honestly, this makes it so much easier than writing out all this code. So.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. Well, first of all, we've got the mandatory parameter in there. And I want to show you guys something and it's on the slides that you have. So get help about underscore. And of course, my brain is, functions. And you know what? Tab completion is such a beautiful thing that it's, So all of this stuff about the different types of attributes that we're going to show you is in advanced parameters. Now, I've got a set list of some of the parameter attributes that I want to show you, and Jeffrey's probably going to want to show you a couple, but the complete list and samples of code are in the help file. Again, the help system for PowerShell is unbelievable. I mean, just the most amazing thing
in the
world.
By the way, did we show them the trick about pipe to clip?
Oh, I saw that. You know, would you show the pipe to clip thing?
Yeah, okay. So let's, what was that again? About function parameters?
It was pipe to clip?
What was the name of the about function?
About underscore functions underscore advanced.
Functions.
Yeah.
Advanced.
Underscore parameters.
Oh, you know what? This doesn't have help. That's why it's not working.
Oh, you don't have help on yet?
Remember, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing all this demo from like their machine. I just walked up and I said, oh, it's got PowerShell on it. I'll use that. And we didn't do an update help.
So I'll do it.
I'll run update help in the background.
So this is the old clip EXE, right? Is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if you take a look at my screen, guys, get help, about functions, advanced parameters, pipe to clip. And what were we doing? That actually puts it into the
clipboard. And then say, Control N. It's a new tab. And you just paste it there. You go to the top, of course.
Oh,
anyway, so it's all there.
So you can read it.
Yeah, exactly. Very nice.
This is very cool. A nice way to get it there so that you can read it and go through it. So all of this and all the code samples are right there. So let's go to our first one here. Mandatory. Just once again, I'm going to run this real quick. The rest of the code down here hasn't changed. Just so you know, we're not dealing with that anymore right now, so we're just adding in features, so I'll minimize all that. Mandatory true, going to run this, and you guys will know what happens. I'm going to type in git comp info, and if I don't specify, it comes up and asks. I want you to notice that because we're dealing with multiple values, the binky's inside there, now he wants to know multiple computer names, and I'm going to show you something that happens to a lot of folks the first time they see this. They'll put in a computer and go, well, that's the one I want, and it's asking me again, so I... it keeps asking me.
Oh.
Make it stop! Here's how you make it stop. Just strike enter on a blank line.
Or then control stops. C.
Or control C. So it lets you easily enter in multiple values, and also...
Yeah, you show them with it. Get rid of the binkies, and show them what that would look like.
Get rid of the binkies, and so, dink, dink.
Yeah, run it again.
And let's run it. Let me get rid of this line, and we'll do git comp info. Now you don't have the brackets with the element numbers in there.
Yeah.
So now it only takes one.
Right.
So
if you have arrays, binkies matter, and we'll just keep asking you. More and more.
Matter, we'll keep asking. So mandatory is pretty straightforward. Let's see, and Jeffrey gave you a quick shot of this earlier. Pretend for a moment that I want to accept these computer names. I don't want to hand type them into the parameter. I want to accept them from the pipeline. So example two, here are the parameter attributes for pipeline. Now notice I have multiple attributes here. Mandatory equals true, comma, value from pipeline is true, and value from pipeline by property name. And for the difference between being passed by value and by property name, I want to reference you back to the first jumpstart where we went through all of that information.
Yep.
And that was some pretty heavy duty stuff.
Yeah.
But basically what this means is, just like Jeffrey showed earlier, I can now take stuff from the pipeline. In fact, let's do that. I made earlier computers.txt. So let's do this. Mm. Let's do git content, C: computers.txt, just so everybody can see. Watch. Aha. Okay, so I've got computers there. Now look at this. Pipe git comp info. Ooh, look at that. No, really, guys. Stop for a minute and look at what just happened. With a simple added attribute, my commandlet now supports pipeline input for that parameter. That is totally awesome. So I can do git content computers, I could be doing git AD computer, I could be doing from a CSV, I can hand type them in, whatever, but everybody says, well, how do I get something to support pipeline input? That
You got it.
And you didn't have to code all this. You didn't. And I remember once that.
And you put the comment. You put the code in the process block. That's
it. And you put the code in the process block. That's very important. Remember, our code's in the process block because that's where it needs to be for it to run if it's going to get it catch it from the pipeline.
Because it gets called each time the pipeline has an object.
This is. I remember hand coding this once. I did not understand advanced functions well enough when V2 first came out, and I hand coded taking information from the pipeline. It was ridiculously stupid.
Ouch.
And you've got it such a simple, sweet solution by just adding it in right there. So guys, keep it simple whenever you can keep it simple. Now there's a couple of other things you can do with parameter. I'm focused on computer name because I'm playing with it. But I kind of like this. This is kind of nice. How about we add a help message for the parameter? Now, this is different than the comment-based help that we're going to be showing you later. But this is a help message in case you think that somebody might get confused. This is a nice attribute to add. Take a look. So I've got mandatory, got my values from pipeline. I put in another comma, and I put in this one, help message equals, and I put in a little help message. One or more computer names.
I just point out that's not that helpful.
Yeah, it's
but
really...
But when you do it, you do something helpful.
When I do it, yeah. But you'll get the idea. Yeah, you're going to see exactly what he means, that it's not really that helpful. Let me show you how this appears, though, when you run this.
Yeah, it's rocking.
Yeah, this is actually get comp info. And I obviously, it wants something. PowerShell is asking me for something. And pretend for a moment that I don't know what computer name is. Notice what says above there. Type. And do you call those bangs?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I call them bangs too. Do you have a special name for the question mark?
Yes. Question mark.
Oh, okay, good. I always check with the Unix guy to see if there's any kind of, special stuff going on. So watch. What I'm going to do is I'm going to type bang.
By the way, that did not exist the last time.
No, it wasn't on the screen at all.
It's only because you provided help, a help comment, that now we see that. And we say, oh, well, do you want some help?
Here it is. And now watch. I'm going to strike enter and see it comes up with that help message and then gives me basically the mandatory parameter again.
And if that help message was useful, then you'd have help and you'd know what to do.
One or more computer names, that's not very useful, is it? So,
given that the parameter's named computer name. No.
I know. It's kind of, yeah. But you guys get the idea here is that this is a great way to add in some help for the individual parameters. That shows up. One of my other...
Again, for you, ahead. You might say, well, I'm not going to do that. And again, for you, you don't, right? You've named all your functions T and A and B, and so you got 26, you just iterate through. But it's when I'm going to go, and I'm going to give it to Jason, right? He obviously needs all the help he can get. So I'm going to write this script with lots of help so that, again, we always think, and I encourage you to think this way as well, that whenever you're writing these tools, think about the person who is using your tool, and they expected to use your tool on Friday after everybody went home, so 6 o'clock, they're going to do something, they're going to be finished by 7, and they're going to be home for a late night dinner with their family and a movie, okay? But it's not. It's now 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, everything's gone pear-shaped, and they're frantic, okay? Now, write your tools for that guy. Right? So don't be esoteric with the names. At some point, he's running something, make sure there's help, make sure there's confirmation, make sure you'll think about that person, because you know what? That person might be me. And I want your tool to help me, and it might be
And since you mentioned that, when you write your tool, please, help message is good, and yes, use better, write something better help than what I wrote, because I would appreciate it, because
yes,
definitely appreciate it. One more to take a look at before we take a break. And I have a question about this. Let me explain this to you. And then, Jeffrey, we have this attribute called alias.
Oh, I love it.
And,
yeah.
and so talk about this. Why does this exist in the first place? And why do I have this?
There's many reasons why you might have an alias. Imagine you wanted to be like Dark Carlos or Carlos Dangerous.
Did you just call me Dark Carlos?
Wasn't that the guy's name? That politician?
Yeah, thanks.
Carlos Danger.
Okay.
So, no, the reason why I'm alias is that we have some strong guidance for the names for things. And again, it's about this world where you think, you type, and you get, and therefore we tell everyone, hey, this should be the term, computer name. And people are like, okay, that's great, I love it. I'm into this thing, type, get, that makes total sense for me. A middle sense for you guys, but not for me, because historically I've already got some stuff and everybody knows it as host name, not computer name. So I'm going to use host name, and we say, no, actually you're not. You're going to call it computer name. And they're like, but that's not going to work for me. And it's like, no, I totally respect that. Here's how it works. So you use minus computer name, but then you can have an alias. And so that means that when your users use this, they'll see computer name, and they'll also see that there's this alias host name. So if they can use either one.
So if they're used to using host name, and they'll just naturally use host name, but also when they're looking at the help, they'll see, oh, I'm supposed to be
using
computer name, and they're letting me get away with the host name right now.
Yes. Now, there's another reason for this, and this other reason's actually even cooler. The other reason is, so remember from the previous session, we talked about this pipeline, you know, get from pipeline by property name.
Right.
Okay. And so what that means is I get an object, I send it to a commandlet, and I first say, hey, does he bind by value? Yes. Is it the correct value? Yes or no? And if it is, it gives it to him and it goes. If it's not, it says, okay, can I bind to it by property name? And so it takes the property name and says, do you have a value? Do you have a property by that name? And if so, it grabs it, gives it the value, and calls the process object. With alias, it'll see, do you have that property name? Or do you have any of the aliases?
Oh, so this is wickedly cool.
And so what that means is, so you got this object, like, okay, I'm writing this tool, and you wrote an object, and you wrote it the right way, and so it's got a minus computer name. And so I say by property value, computer name, and I am able to run your commandlet and pipe it to mine, and everything's happy. But Joe over there, Joe wrote a tool, and he emitted an object called host name. And it's like, Thanks, Joe. Could you please go do it the right way? And which Joe's already been fired, so the answer's no. And so it was like, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm in a position, you'll see that there's other techniques you can use, but I'm in a position to just go and say, okay, the computer name has an alias, host name, or host, or IP address, or whatever, and I can have a number of those things. And then as I get the object and says, oh, do you have a computer name? No. Do you have a host name? Yes. Okay, well, give me that one a go. So it's a way to be super, super powerful.
And this is a great, by the way, the first jumpstart, this is step 3 in the module on the pipeline deeper, where we had to do a custom column where we created our own property name on the fly because they didn't match up. And so what you can do is you now as the toolmaker, well, if you know that you're going to get, yes, they're going to send me things under properties called computer name, and somebody's going to send me stuff under host name, you can solve the problem up front so that the admin that's using these tools doesn't have to go through all that hard work to make the conversions and to create the properties on the fly. So let me show you this, and then we'll take a break.
Here's, by the way, it turns out all of our friends in the international lands have no idea who Carlos Danger is.
They don't know who Carlos Danger is? Well, this is the tool making, and so we don't want to talk about Carlos Danger too much because...
There's an American politician who got himself in trouble
using
an alias.
And that would be his alias that he used in its... Yeah, American politician, bad. So, guys, it's called alias. And I'm going to say use what Jeffrey said. Instead of host, I'm going to just change it to host name. Watch what happens here. I'm going to run it so you can see what the results will be. So we get comp info. And I want you to see that I can still do dash computer name, but here is kind of cool. Looky. I can use host name.
Woo.
And as Jeffrey pointed out, this is a great solution. If you know that you're going to be receiving objects and properties that don't match, you can make them match to what you want them to be for pipeline. This is awesome. Just want to make sure if you've been following along with the slides and that you know where we're at. So I just want to show you in the slides where we are. In Module 5, what we talked about so far is we've done mandatory parameters.
Yep.
And we've done switch parameters. And we've done accepting pipeline input, very, very important. This is the cool part for everybody, is making your commandlets accept pipeline input. Parameter help, definitely cool. And we just finished doing with aliases, which very helpful to be able to have aliases. There are a couple of more things that I wanted to show. And if you want to show something too, that's awesome. But let me see what you think of this. You did this earlier, this validate set.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to show everybody that validate set is definitely one of my favorite things. Now, I'm doing it on computer name, but you can do this with a lot of things. When you know that there's only certain values that you want an admin to be able to type in, validate set is your friend. So a lot of times with WMI, or a lot of times with a lot of the tools that you make, you're going to say, you got three options. You type in the sun, the moon, the earth, and the ocean. Well, I guess that's four options. Oops. the sun, the moon, the earth. Those are your options. If they type in anything else, you could write the code that would check to see if they type, but why? We've got validate set. So take a look at this. Validate set, DC, client, and I'm gonna run this. And so as you saw earlier when Jeffrey had done this, and I just love this, git comp info. I'm gonna do computer name, and watch, I'm gonna do something that it's not gonna like. guys, the production guys are going, uh-oh. And look, red. I'm bleeding all over the screen. So git conf info, but look at what the message says. Cannot validate argument on parameter. The argument localhost does not belong to the set DC and client. So the error message will tell you what you should be typing in, which...
pretty useful.
I think is very useful. And so validate set is hugely, hugely fun and I like to use. One of my other favorite ones is, and guys, this is example number six.
Hey, does IntelliSense work with validate set? Try that. What do you mean? Go down. Try.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, so git comp
info. It might not. I don't remember.
You know, IntelliSense has gotten so cool now that comp info computer name.
Look at that.
Oh, look at that. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look. Look. Oh, I can't get it to do
control
it again.
Control J. Or control space. I don't know. Yeah. Look at that.
Whoa. So, do you guys see what's going on here? This is actually really kind of freaky cool. Is that IntelliSense knows your validate set. So, it's displaying what's in your validate set.
Another reason to use validate set.
Another reason. Yeah, absolutely. So, actually, that's wickedly awesome.
By the way, hit client.
And so, then, hit client.
Yeah, and then comma. And then control space again.
Control space?
Is it whatever you did before?
I just did a space.
No. Control space.
Control space? Let's turn it. Control space.
Okay, so.
Well, it gives you the whole list.
Yeah, okay. So I was just wondering how smart it was.
Yeah, well,
Jason Shirk did that stuff. Awesome stuff. He's super smart, but only so smart.
Oh, great. So send your email to Jay Snover at.
No, actually, he's correct, because what that says is you can use those names over and over again. Yeah. So, he's correct.
So he's much higher on the smart scale.
Kind of smarter than me, because I forgot about that.
So, guys, one of my other favorite ones is parameter count. And so validate the count. And this is so that you can, if you want to control how many things somebody can type in. So here's a great example. Maybe your tool is very network intense and you only want them to be able to use maybe two computer names at once. So let me run this and show you. I'm going to put in three so that you can see what happens here. Let me get rid of this guy. Why am I getting rid of it? Because it's just what I want, but I like to type comp info, computer name. So DC, client, and S1. Look at the error message that's come up is cannot validate because the number of supplied arguments, 3, exceeds the maximum allowed. So what I've done here is I validated a count that says I only want you to be able to put 2 computers in. So it might be a commandlet like we're going to talk about in a little bit that makes changes, and maybe you don't want them to make changes to more than a couple machines at once, something like that, or maybe your parameter, you only want it to be able to make a couple of things. And then I'm gonna show the last one that is my favorite, but I have mixed emotions about this.
What?
I have mixed emotions about this.
Oh.
Because I don't remember if we talked about this in the last Jumpstart, but the last one is validate pattern.
Yeah, what do you mean mixed emotions?
I have mixed emotions about this because I love it. It's what's inside of it I don't love.
Oh, well, there's that. There's that. Okay.
So, guys, if you've taken a look at my screen, Validate Pattern is one of the most useful. I use it constantly. This is if you know that somebody's going to be typing in data and you want to validate that data that it's correct before they type it in. And the example that I have here is, imagine this. I want you to type in an IP address. Well, here's the thing. I want to make sure that that IP address that you're typing in meets certain rules, like it's 0 through 255. You can't type in 999.999. That would be wrong. So I want to validate that you're typing in the right number range and that you're putting in 4 octets, not 3 or 2.
Yeah.
That requires a little bit more finesse. And so PowerShell has the ability to support that, but now you have to use regular expressions.
Yep.
And regular expressions I think I may have already told you this. If I did this in the previous Jumpstart, I'm sorry, but my best mate is this super developer, and he has a word for regular. He has a phrase for regular expressions, and his thing is this is so. And he's British, so and he's pompous, so I have to, as they all are. Anyways,
you're talking about Richard?
Yeah, Richard. Yeah, exactly, Richard. So it's like. So you've decided that you have a problem that could be solved with regular expressions. Well, now you have.
Is that British?
That's my British.
Yeah.
So you've decided that you have a problem that can be solved with regular expressions. Well, now you have 2 problems.
Yes. True.
So, guys, look, the stuff that's in the middle here is regular expression syntax. That is going to validate this data.
That was
data.
Like the worst accent ever.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I almost wish we could get Richard on the phone because that would help out a lot. I'm sure he'll yell at me for it later. So you can put regular expressions in. Now, if you don't, hand coding regular expressions can be challenging. So you can go to Bing and search for a regular expression, which basically is what I did here. Also, you can learn regular expressions. They're kind of bizarre at first when you learn them, but you can start to learn them and build your own. I'm a web guy, so I have to use regular expressions all the time. So it's something, but validating patterns of data is totally awesome. And so let me just run this and show you.
Yeah, it's pretty hideous. I agree.
Yeah, it's hideous. And the thing is with regular
powerful
expressions.
Powerful, but hideous.
Yeah, very powerful. But what I've run across with regular expressions is you're not looking for the shortest one. You're usually looking for the longest one because we have to get all the rules in. The logic of those rules have to get in there. And it usually requires a lengthy regular expression to do it. In this case, I'm just doing some simple IP address checking. I'm not really checking on numbers. I'm checking on to make sure you have enough octets in here. So get conf info, and I'm going to set computer name DC because it's mandatory. And I'm going to do IP address. And I'm going to do 192.168.3. Notice I didn't put in enough octets for it, so when I run it, it comes up and it says, yo, dude, you know, your IP address does not match the, yeah, and that's kind of hideous looking, but it does not match that pattern. So this is probably, every time a developer talks to me about, well, I want to validate data, this is usually the direction that they're headed, is they have very specific data validation that they want to do, and PowerShell will let you do it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, can you switch to my screen?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Here, what you want to do is, there's a ton of these things, okay? And so here what I did was I did a help about functions, advanced parameters, minus show window, okay? And so this is a great document. And down here, well, here I'll search. I'll use the old search here, validate. So now I'll go up a bit. Parameter validation attributes. So you can do things like allow null. You know, hey, I take a computer name, which is a string. Do we allow nulls or not? Okay. Do we allow empty strings? Do we allow empty collections? Okay. And then things like validate count.
Yeah.
Okay. So that says, hey, I got the bingy bingies. What do you call them?
Binkies.
Oh, like binkies. The little thing with the, yeah. Okay. So you got binkies here. How many can I have? Can I put a 1,000 elements in it? And this is saying, hey, no, I'm going to validate the count. You have to have between 1 and 5 things. That's it. You can validate the length. So that says, hey, I'm going to take a string, okay, but the string has to be between 1 and 10. That's a fun one. Let's show that one.
Actually, that's
do you know that one? Did you know that? You didn't know that one?
No, I you know what? I've used that before, but you know when I've used it? I've actually used it on computer names, right? Because somebody types in some ridiculously long name, you know it can't be.
Validate. Oh, and see that? That was control space, because I can never remember these things, so I know it's validate something. And what did I say? I forgot.
Crap. What was it? Validate link.
As I said. Oops. Validate L. You thought I was joking, didn't you? Validate length. Let's say it's got to be between 4 and 10 characters.
Yeah.
Let's give that a try. Okay, so that says, okay, get. Go away, go away, go away, go away. Oh. Hide. Get. Comp info, minus computer name. A. DC. Not big enough?
Yeah,
DC,
see?
DC. Well, that one works. DC, 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 DC. Too long. There you go.
Too long. See, I like that. I like that.
Oh, and it tells you how long it is. 18. Look at that. See that? Okay, so that's one. Oh, that's all you guys. Okay, so that's... God darn it. Oh, I see. There it is. Okay, so that was...
Validate length. So that was cool.
Validate length. You saw validate pattern. Very powerful. Validate script. Now, this is the...
Oh, no,
this
no,
is
I haven't used this.
What?
I haven't used this.
I can't get Don Jones to stop talking about this.
Well, yeah, but who listens to him? Sorry, that was on live camera.
So here's one. Let's see. We'll just do one of these. And I'm just going to get rid of all this stuff. Blah. Start from scratch. Test. And what I'm going to say is, let's say that this is a path. And I'm going to say cat $ path. Okay?
Okay.
So let's make sure we get this. Okay. And then I'm going to say, what the heck was the name there? Oh, I don't want to type all that. So, of course, T. So now I can say T, C, colon, jumpstart, mod 2, dash, that. Voila, it works. Yeah?
Oh, very cool.
Okay, blows up. So here, now I might have done a whole bunch of stuff before it finally blew up, because I gave it a name that didn't exist.
Right.
So what you can do here is you can do validate, valid something. Validate script. Validate script. And $ this. I can say test path $ this.
Ah.
I think I have to put that in squiggle brackets. And when I do it again.
Validate cannot bind path because it is null. Oops.
It's all right. That's duh. Oh. Anyway, that's how that works. What the heck?
So what is the purpose though to the validate script? I mean, what is his
here, you know what, when in doubt, always bring up the help, right?
Yeah.
So where was that help? Where'd my show window go? Help. By the way, so now, here's a little trick. I'm trying to bring up the help that I brought up before, and I forget where it is, and I did hit blah, blah, blah. It's going to, yeah. So what you can do is you can say #, and a portion of the command, and hit tab, and it'll...
Oh, and it'll go right to it. You know, I saw you do this before, and I've never done that trick, and I think that's awesome.
It is. Okay, so there was validate script. Script. Validate script. I have two of those. Okay. Okay, so here it's a script. Oh, I see. Dollar sign under bar. Maybe that was my mistake. It says it can't be current date. Okay? So if I say, if I said T minus event date, get date, it would say, hey, that's not going to work because they are
equal.
But if I said get date 12/25/2013, Christmas, happy, what the heck?
Because the path is still in there, yeah. That's why he's yelling about that. So validate script is actually your ability to run code that it's going to use as the validation.
Exactly.
And I think why Don's been talking about this is because, and this is really cool, is because in the scripting games that we just
That's
had.
That's what it was.
In the scripting games, there was one of the challenges, had you check a path or something like that, and somebody had tested the path, I think, with validate script.
That's what it was, yeah.
And it was so cool because if you typed in a path that wasn't there.
That's it. I used dollar sign this, and so I went back and I fixed it. I used dollar sign underbar instead of dollar sign this. So validate script.
I see.
Okay, takes a script block. Takes a script block. And basically returns true or false. We evaluate it, just like our where clause. Takes a script block, evaluates it. Evaluates to true or it evaluates to false. If it's true, happy, happy. If it evaluates to false, not. So if you give it a value that doesn't exist, it's going to evaluate to false. And if you give it a value that does exist, happy, happy.
It works. And the reason that this was such a cool thing, I mean, we all learned about this in the scripting games. I can't remember who did this as an example, but a lot of us that were sitting there looking at these scripts went, oh, this is wickedly cool because we were writing the code to check for the path to make sure existed, and this checks for it right there at the validation.
Yeah.
Totally awesome. Awesome.
Damn. So yeah, there's a ton more stuff about parameters and the document. But by the way, so again, another technique is when you're kind of messing up and things aren't right, go to the examples in the help, figure that out. So what happened, right? So I thought I knew it. Step number one, I don't remember all these things. Okay, so I thought I knew it. I thought it was dollar sign this. It's wrong. I'm not sure what to do. What do I do? Go to the help. Use the example in the help. I use the example in the help, and then I notice, it's not dollar sign this, it's dollar sign underbar. Duh. And then I go back and I fix the original problem.
Well, you know what's really interesting is that a lot of people would say, well, you should have practiced your demos or something, and it's like, no, you don't understand. In PowerShell, this is what we do every single day. This is what happens to us.
And this
is how we solve the problem.
Exactly. I want to be clear about that, right? I do not want to come here and show you this polished, no problem thing, because that's not the real world.
It's not real.
And I wanted to be super clear that, you know, I've been working with this technology forever and ever and ever, and it's not about memorizing it or being an expert. It's about being able to figure this stuff out. So that's why we show you all the warts, why we show you these errors. I love it when these errors occur, because then it shows you, and then that happens, and then you do this, and then that happens, and you do that. That's more valuable than, okay, now write this down 17 times, because after 17 times of writing it down, you'll commit it to memory. That's nonsense.
And I think that's a very important thing that we brought up in the very first Jumpstart, which was don't memorize stuff. That's why the help system exists, and it's a really good help system. So as we're making mistakes, it's what happens to me in real life, and I have to go look something up because I screwed something up. So, anyways. So this has been a great run through on some of the parameter attributes that we can use, which is totally awesome. So let me catch everybody up in slides because we're going to shift modules here. We got about a half an hour before break, and so we've got really cool stuff. So we did a couple examples of validate set, validate count, validate pattern are in there for you. Check out the help file and try those. It really helps out quite a bit. And this is a great time for me to just briefly show you before we go to our next module that at this point, I'm going to go to create my own little blank one. Remember Control-J where the snippets would come up?
Oh, yeah.
What I love is this complete snippet because it gives you inside of here. Look at all of these.
Yeah, this is the one I use.
It reminds you that these are here, right?
Yeah, this is the one I use all the time.
Yeah, it's the one that, oh, there's where I got the sun, moon, earth. That's where it is. I knew it was in my brain from somewhere. So this is a great example. This snippet is great. It's the one that I use all the time, too, because it helps remind you about some of the things that are available that if you need to, you can then, they give you samples right here, or you can jump into help and get further ones. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break, a 10-minute break. See you in 10 minutes.
10.